One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 58, Book 129 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
Now, for just a moment, what do you say we take time out to talk about star roots? Never heard of them? Well, I don't suppose many of us have, but they exist, all right. Now, those of us who live in cities or in other localities where regular letter carriers drop off our mail probably never wonder how mail is handled in places where almost no one lives, where there's hardly anything and not much reason for going there. But there is someone who thought about it and did something about it, our Postmaster General. He saw to it that folks who live in these out-of-the-way places received their mail. Of course, the post office doesn't operate regular mail routes to these places because there isn't enough mail to warrant a regular postman. But the people in isolated spots, such as prospectors in the Nevada mountains, or trappers in the Alaska wilderness, or Louisiana bayous, are entitled to their mail. That's why the Post Office Department has set up a system of contracting responsible agencies to deliver mail to out-of-the-way places. These special mailmen follow what are known as star routes. Deliveries are made usually to mailboxes similar to RFD boxes that stand in the middle of some barren waste or along a rarely traveled river. Star route carriers use cars, horses, mules, rowboats, dog sleds, or airplanes, whatever they need to deliver the mail. Sometimes they even walk. Yes, the job of the star route postman is a rugged one. And our hats are off to these little publicized employees of our United States Post Office Department.
Today, the truth about Andy. Mrs. Sidney Lawrence, the former Margaret Barber Murray, who was known throughout her childhood as Father Barber's favorite grandchild, is saying to the old gentleman in the library of the family home on a bright March morning,
Grandfather, I don't like that word at all.
Yeah.
We've been separated by distance, but that doesn't mean estrangement. I stopped to look up the definition after you used it last night. Why, it actually means alienation.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't say a word.
Oh. Well, anyway, it was a classic surprise party, and I appreciate it. And you know perfectly well the only reason I don't drop in here oftener is because we live so far away.
Yeah. How long can you stay this time?
Well, Sidney says I need to be away from the children as long as I can bear it, so I imagine 2 days.
Better than the usual fast in and out.
But I'll have to move over to Mom's house tonight, you know. Collie, I hadn't realized how far behind I am on the family gossip. Of course, Penny had some. She told me about Andy. I suppose you're heartsick about that. But then, on the other hand, it may not be serious, you know.
Hmm?
Penny said she's seen the girl once, and she's really quite pretty.
What are we talking about?
Your grandson, Andrew.
I know. What about him? What's this?
His girl, Bonnie. Goodness, you knew, didn't you? That he's going with a girl? A very young widow who has a little boy? Oh, Grandfather, I'm sorry. Didn't you know that? I didn't think it was a secret.
Yes.
You did know, or not?
All I know is Paul went to the campus to see him. Didn't volunteer when he had found out, so I didn't ask.
Oh, well, I'm sorry if I've spoken out of turn or anything, but I thought you knew.
Paul Barber reporting in.
Oh, it's Uncle Paul.
Hi there, Maggie.
Hello, Uncle Paul.
Well, Paul, your telephone has been ringing repeatedly. I presume the answering device takes care of it.
I'll go right up, Dad.
Paul.
Yes?
If you have a few moments free this morning, I'd like to talk to you in the studio.
Well, sure. I'll make my phone calls and ring the buzzer.
Thank you very much.
I'll only be around, Maggie.
Oh, she's staying 2 days. You'll see her.
I'm counting on it.
Yes. Maggie, Andrew knows very well that nothing would please me more than to see him married to a nice girl and raising a family. After all, Andrew is the only grandson I have who will carry on the family name. I even told him if he did get married while in college, I would gladly pay his wife's tuition. Yes. Why this new development should be kept from me, I can't imagine. Who came in?
It's I, Father.
Oh, it's Mom. Hi.
Good morning, dear. Hello, Father.
Well, thank you. You've forgiven me?
For what?
Whatever it was, I did.
Oh, you know what you did. He predicts terrible disaster for Dan's business, and I can stand just so many negatives. Yes, I've forgiven you. Dan's doing very well.
Oh, excuse me, that's Paul. I have a date to talk to him. I'll go up.
Excuse me. Yes, yes. Coming, Paul.
Gee, seems older.
Doesn't to me. I think he's remarkable.
Well, you're with him every day. I didn't want to ask him, but what's happened about his 8-car collision? Is he going to stop driving?
We wish he would. We're hoping when his car comes back from the shop, he'll sell it. Well, coming over to the house?
Any time, I guess. Grandmother's helping over at Aunt Betty's. Aunt Betty was here for a while and looked kind of wobbly, I thought.
I think he's on some kind of a special diet. Margaret, while we're alone, did you tell Claudia what Sidney discovered about Bruce Conrad?
Should I? I wondered about it last night. I'll tell her if you feel I ought to.
I would, I think. This is something Claudia and Nicky have a right to know.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Let's take a moment to think of the world we live in, of just how small it really is. For example, a modern commercial transport flying from San Francisco would reach Honolulu in a matter of hours. So let's say that you're going to the Hawaiian Islands for the first time. Although there are many reefs and shoals included in the Hawaiian chain, which make it the longest group of islands in the world, you'll probably find that Hawaii is the largest island of all. Probably the most well-known of the group, however, is Oahu, because it's the most highly developed. 70% of the territory's population live on this bit of land, 40 miles long by 26 miles wide. And it's here that famous Honolulu combines old Polynesian traditions with big city conveniences and facilities. Being in a territory of the United States naturally accounts for the Hawaiians following the American democratic way of life. However, they do have laws and quaint customs that are still their very own. Respect them, and you in turn will be respected as a fellow American citizen. Hawaiians are a hospitable people who want to be friends. But remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
In Paul's studio at the top of the house, Father Barber, sitting bolt upright on the window bench, fingers spread on his knees, is running a bit of pressure.
Well, you know very well how interested I am in Andrew's future. If this is the proper girl for him, I would make a trust arrangement.
Dad.
So they can get whatever additional education they require without worrying about money.
Dad,
I've tried to convey this to Andrew. Perhaps I was too subtle.
Well, Andy's a pretty independent character. If you want my opinion, I think he resents any suggestion of help from you or anybody else.
We keep wandering off the subject. Tell me, have you a picture of this young woman he's going around with?
I don't think I have, no.
Oh. She does, however, have all the necessary arms, legs, fingers, toes.
Well, she's a very pretty girl, Dad. Beautiful. Has a few freckles, but beautiful.
A widow. But properly married. No scandal?
Dad, her maiden name was Bonnie Gunn, G-U-N-N. And she married a boy named Bill McGann, Willie. He was a mechanical genius. Built a racing car, was killed in it.
Yeah.
He left her enough money to squeak through college and hire babysitters when she needed them. Andy knew from the beginning that she had a son, and in fact their dates, or most of them, have been pretty mundane, while babysitting and studying, either at her apartment or his.
You seem so forthright.
Pardon?
You seem so forthright, Paul. You seem to be telling me all of it, yet I know perfectly well you are not. What are you holding back, if you please?
One thing I can't seem to make clear to you, Dad. They're not actually engaged. Nothing formal. And this may not last.
Margaret said the same thing. You are hiding a detail from me because it may not last.
I am not hiding it. I wanted you to get that thoroughly into your head before I tell you the rest of it.
I'm braced. I suppose I should be. Is this one of those explosive bits of information I should go outdoors to hear? Go on.
Bonnie McGann is in every way a charming girl, Dad. Ambitious, intelligent, kind, everything you could ask. But when her baby was born, she had a very rough time. And, unhappily, she can never have another child.
Oh.
That was a facet of the situation I rather hoped I wouldn't have to tell you. Because, as I say, this is not an engagement, and it may never be one.
Thank you. Yes. Well, I pried into it. Thank you for keeping it as long as you could. I managed to find out. I always do. I won't deny that it's a bitter disappointment. Get on with your work. Nothing more to be said.
More of the barbers in just a moment.
Get the picture. If you are taking or plan to take a course of study with USAFI, you can now get double insurance on your investment. To be more specific, there are certain USAFI courses which you can take. One, by the regular correspondence method, and two, by an additional course on film. That's right, USAFI has begun a series of telecourses conducted by well-qualified high school and college instructors. These courses come in series of from 12 to 20 half-hour films, which can be shown on any standard 16-millimeter projector. They are presented as actual classroom courses and are illustrated with many visual aids to help you understand the subject more clearly. Why not take advantage of this excellent opportunity to increase your knowledge? For the titles of the subjects which can be studied by this method, consult your education officer. Then, enroll with USAFI, and let a telecourse be your guide.
Later, Father Barber walks 13 doors up Seacliff Drive to the vast former McGregor house, now owned, well, now the home of the Daniel Murrays. He finds the front door on the latch.
Hey, Margaret. Hello.
Father, she's upstairs with Claudia. They're having a talk. Come on in here in the den.
Yes. Don't tell me what they're talking about. I don't want to know.
They're talking about Bruce Conrad and something that Sidney learned, which...
No, I have all the information I need for one day. I wondered if Margaret would care to take her car and drive me over to Berkeley to see Andrew. I know all about the situation. Paul told me.
What are you going to do about it?
What can be done about it? There's nothing to do. But I once offered to help the boy if he wanted to get married. I have to tell him face to face that the offer holds good. I have made no conditions of any kind.
I'll call Margaret. Let's all drive over together.
Be glad to have company. And if you know any jokes, I'll be pleased to hear them. Let's go.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 59, Book 129, The Visit to Berkeley. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.